The earliest album covers were simple, mostly portraits of the band with conventional lettering styles, but in the mid-1960s, that started to change. Current state Scott Pohl is here with more on an exhibit of iconic album covers from that era. So where is this exhibit, Scott?
Well, it's at the Keys to Creativity Gallery in the Lansing Mall. The owner, Larry Groot, asked Doug Schoquist to curate a show called The Golden Age of Album Art, and you can see it through October 6th. This is right in my wheelhouse, Kyle. This is my era of rock and roll. I met up with the two of them to check it out, and Schoquist explained to me how the tide started to turn with the Velvet Underground in 1967.
You know, you get Andy Warhol, you get a banana on an album cover, right? That's pretty different than Sonny and Cher's photograph and Before a Tree. Or you'll get, Disraeli Gears that came out later that year, and Sgt. Pepper's in June of 1967. We're going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of that album cover. That's the first album cover to have printed lyrics in it, and also the first album cover to have Hindu images in it. If you look at some of this other album art from 1967, like Jimi Hendrix's Axis, Bold as Love, the artwork is all Hindu images in there. And you have artwork that's on their Satanic Majesty's Request by the Rolling Stones that has a lenticular technology on the front that makes it look 3D. So, you know, artists were just going crazy, just opening up the whole thing. And you know that in 1967, the whole field is going to just, it's all changed. It's all gone from the normal.
When I look at these five album covers, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, Axis, Bold as Love. Now if a six turned out to be nine, oh, I don't mind. Oh, I don't mind. Disraeli Gears. I've been waiting so long to be where I'm going in the sun. Andy Warhol cover for the Velvet Underground. I'm waiting for my man. 26 dollars in my hand. And the Rolling Stones' Satanic Majesty's Request. I almost don't need to see more to know that this is the golden age of album cover artwork.
Yeah, I think that's right. And if you look at the other turning point in the life cycle of this golden age, if you look at what happens after 1983, you can see that there's a return to portrait photography. If you take in the 1980s, the best-selling albums by Madonna or Michael Jackson or Tears for Fears or Lionel Richie, it's all portrait photography. And so what's disappeared is artwork. And I think one of the distinguishing characteristics of this exhibit is that, the art directors of these record companies hired artists, very enlightened artists who worked in traditional mediums like watercolor and acrylic and oil on canvas and even woodcuts. And the Jethro Tull 1969 album Stand Up is actually a woodcut by Jimmy Grashaw, a New York-based artist. And, you know, you look at some of the stuff by Rick Griffin and some of the others, or Santana's first 1969 album, and you do any comparative analysis with what comes after in 1984 and 85, 86, it's a very stark contrast. It's about artwork and diminished use of photography.
Why did we go back to the portraits then?
I'm not sure. I think the portraits are coinciding with the video format. I think when MTV kind of hit the stage, in 1982, I think people started moving in that direction. And of course, 82 is when CDs started to hit the marketplace and the artwork becomes smaller and smaller. And the video is kind of taking the precedence over the actual artwork.
Larry Groot, I want to ask you about why you wanted this exhibit here at Keys to Creativity Gallery in the Lansing Mall. How does it fit in with the other exhibits you've hosted?
Well, this is our first more educational exhibit that we've promoted here. It was having single artist shows, that type of thing, shows that would support a poetry exhibit that we had. But this was the first kind of thing that had some experiential aspect of our generation and then what this art meant to the culture. And one of my big takes from here is that when I was in school, when I was in high school, when I was in college, we didn't hear anything about Hindu art. This is a canvas that we had and a medium that we had to learn about what's going on in the rest of the world. And in that time of the late 60s and 70s, it was exploring, you know, what else is out there. And I think that's from the viewers that are coming in here and seeing that that's one of their big takes.
We're talking with Larry Groot of the Keys to Creativity Gallery in the Lansing Mall and with Doug Showquist about the exhibit he has curated here on the golden age of album art. We're going to take a look around now. The next one along the way is an album called New Generation by the Chambers Brothers, and this is really an intricate, involved piece of artwork.
Come let us gather, one and all. Whatever your age means nothing at all. Come let us toast with glasses full of love. Come let us toast to the saving of our dove.
The most complex album cover ever produced during the so-called Golden Age, and the artist is Matty Clarvine, who has produced many of the works actually for groups during that period as well. But, you know, one of the distinguishing characteristics, again, of this exhibit is the international content that is in the artwork itself. And there's a lot of Asian themes and African themes and European and American themes. And these artists that are doing this artwork are exploring. They are idealistic. They are very enlightened people who embraced a global perspective before we even started talking about global perspectives as a thing in education, as a concept in education.
I'm not sure where we're fitting in at this particular stop with regard to the timeline of 1967 to 1983, but there's another thing that has begun showing up on album covers in this time frame, and that's nudity on album covers.
We have some of that in this exhibit, and we have some in the section on African cultural themes, for example, and again, an artwork by Matty Clarvine, who's a German artist. Did a painting oil on canvas back in 1961. It's called The Annunciation, but it's a painting that was used on Santana's 1970 album, Abraxas.
Got your spell on me, baby. Got your spell on me, baby. Yes, you got your spell on me, baby.
It's an interpretation of the Annunciation story that you find in the Bible, but it is from the perspective of from Africa. So for example, you know, if you look at the artwork itself, you have a black Virgin Mary, and you have Gabriel, the angel, is red astride a conga drum. And they've asked, I think in a Rolling Stone article, once they asked Matty Clarvine about this painting itself and why the conga drums, and he simply said, because if you were in Africa, this is how you communicate. So this is how the Annunciation would be communicated. If you look at the jazz artist Miles Davis' Bitches Brew album, you'll notice that there is something very distinctive about it that is similar to what you have in the Abraxas album by Santana, right? And that is the Woda Abe Nomad. Matty Clarvine, the artist, had actually lived in the country of Niger with Woda Abe nomads, and these are, and he included them in many of his paintings. And it not only adorns the Bitches Brew album cover or the Abraxas album cover, but even the 1980s cover of National Geographic.
You've chosen the cover of the Kansas album Left Overture. Why have you selected this album cover?
I use this one first because I think in terms of European cultural themes, if you look back in history, the Romantics, which is Romanticism is a 19th century movement in Europe and North America, but the Romantics were very interested in the culture of the Middle Ages, and they tried to recreate it in their artwork, they tried to recreate it in their literature, and I thought that this is a perfect example of a Romanticism theme. And you see in the Left Overture album, you see a monk who's struggling to write out, you know, some music lines on a scroll in a Romanesque scriptorium or, you know, library or something like that. It's very, it just oozes that romanticism, as does that artwork on the Moody Blues album, where you have this emphasis on magic and alchemy. And
the Moody Blues album, Every Good Boy Deserves Favor.
Yes. Philip Travers is the artist there, who's done most of the Moody Blues album covers. Another feature of the 19th century romantic movement, though, in Europe, is a dread of technological and scientific progress. It's very different from the Enlightenment period, and they were fearful that science and technology would be the ruin of humankind rather than leading us forward or propelling us forward into a state of happiness and perfection. And I think these album covers that I've chosen here, especially the Queen album cover and the Emerson, Lake & Palmer album cover, Brain Salad Surgery, kind of reflect that romantic dread of science and technology and the possibilities that it can create biomechanical images, or it can create, you know,
or robots taking
robots
over the world.
Taking over the world, yeah.
Out of all of the Elton John album covers, the cover of Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy might be the most intricate artwork from his catalog.
No doubt about it. And the artist is Alan Aldridge, who also did some work for the Beatles. There is a book out on the Beatles that was all illustrated by Alan Aldridge. But it is very intricate, and it's reminiscent in my mind of Bosch, Hieronymus Bosch, who did a lot of intricate paintings like the Garden of Delight. And you can see that the artwork by Alan Aldridge, however, is more fanciful than it is religious, like the Bosch stuff. But I think it's Bosch influence.
On Sunday, September 25th, there will be an event here at the gallery that I want to give you a chance to tell us about, Larry Groot. Tell us about an evening of beneficial blues. Thornetta Davis is going to be here in the Lansing Mall performing?
Yes, Thornetta Davis, Mike Scorry, and Jeff Shope are going to be our premier band for that event. And what we're doing is trying to build up money for arts residency projects. So we're just trying to build up funds so that we can bring arts back into the schools in a more deliberative manner than what is presented now.
Is that normally after hours on a Sunday?
6 o'clock, the mall closes. So it's going to be after hours. We have this whole little wing here right out inside of Macy's. It's called the Macy's Court, and we have this whole area to work with.
On Sunday the 25th at 6 o'clock, the Keys to Creativity Gallery in the Lansing Mall will host an evening of beneficial blues with singer Thornetta Davis. Doug Showquist will start things at 6 o'clock with a talk about the exhibit he has curated here at the gallery called The Golden Age of Album Art. If you're not able to attend on Sunday, the exhibit is going to be here in the Lansing Mall until October 6th. We've been talking with Doug Showquist and the gallery's owner, Larry Groot. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.